is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Donald J. Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance sworn into office at noon in Washington, D.C. Inside the Capitol Rotunda, where the inauguration was moved due to cold weather. Outside, a 21-cannon salute as supporters brave some of those temperatures. The nation's 47th president addressing both Republicans and Democrats who gathered in the rotunda.
The presidency confident and optimistic that we are at the start of a thrilling new era of national success.
President Trump also announced he would issue executive orders reversing many of the executive orders issued by the Biden administration and would declare a national emergency to deal with the southern border crisis and take steps to lower food prices and inflation and drill for oil and natural gas, saying his victory is a mandate. Outgoing President Joe Biden issued more pardons before leaving office, including for his brother Jim and his wife and his sister. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A sitting Richland County supervisor has died. Marty Brewer, 77, of Richland Center, died Thursday at Meritor Hospital in Madison from complications due to his battle with lung cancer. Marty Kelly Brewer was born on Buck Creek in Richland County and spent his youth working the farm. He was a star student at Richland Center High School and even attended Badger Boys State. After graduating from UW-Platteville with a degree in political science, he moved to the Madison area and worked for American Family Insurance as a health underwriter. Once he retired after 30 years at American Family, he and Connie moved back to Buck Creek. Although his career was insurance, his political science degree didn't go to waste. Always involved in local politics and community service, from his days as a McFarland JC and Village Board member to his later years as a Richland County Board member and chair of the Richland County Board of Supervisors. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, February 1st, from 1 to 3:30 at the Pratt Community Hall in Richland Center. The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office identified a man who died while in custody of Madison police. According to the Wisconsin Department of Justice's Division of Criminal Investigation, Madison police officers responded on December 30th to the report of a stolen vehicle at a Best Western hotel. After the suspect identified as 32-year-old Richard L. Johnson of Madison ran off, officers caught him and took him to the Dane County Jail following EMS clearance. When police got Johnson to the jail, he was unresponsive and taken to the hospital where he died the next day. The cause and manner of Johnson's death are pending. DCI said no weapons were used. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks extend their winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with another decisive win at home, 123-109 over the 76ers. Giannis Antetokounmpo led with 35 points, but he pointed out that Philadelphia was shorthanded. No Paul George, Kyle Lowry, Joel Embiid, all out with injuries for the 76ers.
I got to give them credit. You know, they played hard. You know, they didn't have the main guys, so the guys that came in played extremely hard, played together, they made shots. You know, they did all the right things to have in the game that they had tonight.
So the Bucks have now won four in a row. They play the Pelicans in New Orleans on Wednesday. College hoops. Wisconsin with a West Coast win over the weekend, 84-69 over USC. The Trojans did score 13 unanswered points.
Defensively, to be able to catch ourselves after that first 5 to 7 minutes when they made a run back at us. And I think this the moxie of the group, they didn't panic. I think that's what makes this team really, really good.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With high temperatures barely climbing above zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills, where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's zero at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCL, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, January 20th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. A little chilly out there. Big news day today. Going to get you involved and into all of it today as we go throughout the afternoon. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That's inauguration today as well. And can tell you that about an hour ago, Donald J. Trump, 8 years after becoming the 45th president of the United States, has now been sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. We continue to bring you ongoing coverage throughout this hour and into the afternoon here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Going to bring you some cuts of what Donald Trump said in his inauguration. Other people spoke as well. We'll bring you a couple of those cuts. Also following today, of course, as we said, is Martin Luther King Day, going to be marking and remembering that. TikTok is back on, at least for now. And we have a national championship college football game tonight. The Ohio State University and Notre Dame. And a what's worse in hour number two involving the cold weather. Again, we do have, in all seriousness, it's beyond just kind of chilly. The National Weather Service has put up an extreme cold weather warning for most of the state. The exception is the far southeastern part of Wisconsin. But for the vast majority of Wisconsin, an extreme cold weather warning is in effect until 9 a.m. So especially for pets, for some farm animals as well, and certainly for human beings, kids waiting for buses or that sort of thing. I know many school districts have canceled certain activities. Check your local listings around your area. But if you're going to be on the roads today, make sure you put in a kit, have a couple of bottles of water or a granola bar. You always say kind of a can or something with a small candle and matches. And, of course, make sure your cell phone is charged, your gas tank is full, and just use caution out there because things could get very dangerous weather-wise here on this Monday, January 20th. Glad to be back with you. Many thanks to Matt Rothschild for filling in on Friday. Zomers and I were away at a little business, as they say, required business meetings. We set things up for Civic Media in 2025. Mr. Zomers, always glad to be along with you. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you as well.
Busy day. So let's hop right into it. And joining us via phone, and we're so thankful to have him along, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, a great author as well, and to bring us to some perspective and analysis of both the inauguration and Martin Luther King Day, we welcome Matt Flynn back to the program. Matt, happy Monday, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be with you, Todd. It's a great show, and I think there's a lot to talk about today.
Right?
There
certainly is. We're going to get to the inauguration, and I get your take and analysis and perspective on some of this. There is a little bit of additional news happening today, and I wanted to get to that. First of all, courtesy of Axios, President Biden issued historic preemptive pardons for former NIAID Director Anthony Fauci, members of the House January 6th Committee, and others, including Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congresspeople, granting them broad immunity before President Trump's White House return, now in the making. He also, just before the inauguration began, it was announced he preemptive pardons for his immediate family, including his brothers and sisters and their spouses as well. And also making news this day, Vivek Ramaswamy is out as Donald Trump's so-called Department of Government Efficiency co-director. Ramaswamy, the entrepreneur who was tapped by the president-elect, now president, to co-lead his so-called cost-cutting efforts along with Elon Musk, is leaving to run for governor of Ohio, according to a person close with him who was, of course, granted immunity to speak freely, as they say. And Matt, the final bit of breaking news, already the first casualty, perhaps, of the new Trump administration, Transportation Services Administration, TSA Administrator David Pesky is out. He was appointed by Trump, had hoped to return, and Pesky is retired Coast Guard Admiral, but Trump saying no, he wants to make a change there. Matt Flynn, what do you make of those newsmaker stories before we get to the inauguration proper?
Well, one of the things that everybody is forgetting, I watched the Trump inaugural address, and what he did is, on the surface, he tried to pillage things from the Kennedy inaugural, used the word vigor, he put a man on Mars instead of the moon, and he still said things like, let's take back the Panama Canal, but you got to remember one thing. There is a subtext of violence to Trump, not just the storming of the Capitol 4 years ago. But remember something. In the last election, November 5th, everybody said, oh, well, he won fair and square. Well, it likely didn't change the outcome, but there were bomb threats and death threats called in around the country to black voting areas, Indian voting areas in Arizona. There is a subtext, the Proud Boys marched with guns today in Washington, D.C. So make no mistake about it. What's going on, Trump, as long as he wins, he's fine. He smiles. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't win, the knife comes out. Be careful. Vivek Ramaswamy, you know, look, Vivek Ramaswamy is a Hindu. He's a man of color. There's no way in Hades that he's going to make it in the Trump administration. Let's be blunt about it. As far as replacing people in the government, Trump is going to go through, and this business about merit that he talked about is all baloney. Mm-hmm. He's going to inquire, who did you vote for, and try to get rid of civil servants. So my message to everybody out there, Democrats, independents, and Republicans of good faith, is this. Be on your guard. This guy has a subtext of violence going back at least 10 years. Be very careful with this guy.
Matt, I want to just mention here we continue to watch the proceedings in Washington, D.C. at this hour and give us a little historical perspective. You're a great historian and have a particular political history knowledge. We just saw former President Joe Biden and the former First Lady Jill Biden walk out to what is typically Marine One, but of course now as a former president, it will not be called Marine One, the helicopter there. Now President Trump and the First Lady Melania Trump did walk the former president and First Lady out to the helicopter. And this all seems, Matt, to use a word, very normal. But, of course, 4 years ago, it was anything but.
Yeah, Trump is not normal. You know, Biden had to issue these preemptive pardons today. And the only thing I would have done differently is do it several days ago, not just at the last minute. Mm. But Trump has threatened to prosecute the former chief of staff, Miley, Anthony Fauci, everybody, Biden's family. And I think what Biden did was a stroke of genius. He said, okay, is that what you're going to do? Well, I'm pardoning everybody. I'm pardoning everybody. Right. And that impression that's left in the American people is that he had to do it to prevent a Putin type of president coming in who would go after them unfairly. Now, there are judges Remember, the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court, Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the she-wolf down in Mar-a-Lago, who, if is put in front of any of them, they will find weasel ways to try to turn around, but it puts an impediment in Trump's path to going after innocent people in a very authoritarian way.
Marine, typically called Marine One, the Marine helicopter now transporting former President Biden and Jill Biden, about to lift off from the grounds of the Capitol. And Matt, correct me, I believe it was former President Reagan who was the first on his way leaving Washington in 1989, January of 89, that asked the pilot to circle the White House one final time. And those on board that were recording it said that Reagan looked out the window and said to Nancy Reagan, his wife, there's our little bungalow, honey. And they made one second final around. And it's kind of become tradition now as presidents leave and depart Washington. Of course, Trump opted to leave Washington on his own much earlier before then-President Biden was sworn in. But we'll see, Matt. We'll be watching it and see if the Bidens take one last swing around the White House, as has been normal ever since Ronald Reagan.
Right. No, I think it's a great, and you know, Ronald Reagan had quite a personality. And so there were always these quips, you know, these ad libs from movies and that kind of thing. And it's, you know, that's very, very neat. You also remember this. By 1989, he already had early onset dementia. Maybe he thought it was his bungalow. Who knows what he thought? But you know, anyway, the guy had a quick wit. I like that. The guy had a quick wit.
And doesn't matter whether it was H.W. Bush or Clinton or W. Bush or Obama.
Right,
they all
have
kept up that tradition of circling twice around the White House before that one final trip out of Washington. Matt, according to my records here, what I came up with, keep me honest on that, I believe with Donald Trump returning to the White House, he's the first president since Grover Cleveland, and none of us remember him, but Grover Cleveland, to return to the White House a second time. And, you know, certainly something that doesn't happen very often. But I heard someone today say that Mrs. Cleveland, before she left the White House the first time, told the White House staff, "Don't change a thing. We'll be back." Well, they were.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. It was Grover Cleveland. And what you may not remember, Grover Cleveland had a ravenous groin just like Trump. And there was a campaign statement in that particular thing where he lost one. And when he ran again, all of his opponent's detractors showed up and would shout, "Ma, Ma, where's Pa?" Because he'd sired a child out of medlock. And the other people would say, "Gone to the White House, ha, ha, ha." So, you know, this is sort of, you know, actually Grover Cleveland had more on the ball than Trump. I mean, he was a Democrat, for one thing. He was a good man.
Right.
And he wasn't a thief, and he hadn't betrayed us to the Russians. But other than that...
Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play?
Yeah, how'd you like the play?
Matt, about a minute left here before our first break. You know, a lot of folks like me and others will make a lot of this, but found it interesting in the seating, of course, the events by Trump. This is Trump's doing. This is not anybody else. Trump decided to move it indoors. He said due to the cold weather, it certainly is cold there, not quite as bad as Wisconsin. Whether it was that or afraid of a small crowd size, we'll never know for sure. But so the stadium was limited. And apparently, according to reports, former mayor and Trump friend Rudy Giuliani got a seat in the rotunda inside the Capitol, but the Ukrainian ambassador did not. You know, and also in row one, the richest men in the world, including Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and others, in row two, the cabinet. Pretty telling, Matt Flynn.
Yeah, here's what happened. First of all, he moved it inside, not just because of the cold. It was much colder during the Kennedy inauguration. It was colder during the Reagan. But he did it, I think, with security.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't want another bullet going by his earlobe.
Hang on to that thought, Matt. We'll be back with you in a second. President Biden making the second trip around the White House as he heads to Joint Air Force Base Andrews as he leaves Washington, D.C. We'll come back with Matt Flynn and more on the inauguration of MLK on Civic Media.
News from the center, WRCE.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New presidents often use day one executive orders to move their policy agendas forward. What are the different kinds of presidential orders? What are their limitations? And why do presidents use them? Since John F. Kennedy, presidents have averaged 269 executive orders over their terms. Since 1907, each order receives a number and all are cataloged at the National Archives. There are three different kinds of orders, according to Dr. Bert Rockman of Purdue University. Executive orders are written orders, usually on more weighty issues such as national emergencies or setting uniform policy for government action. Written presidential memoranda authorize or freeze projects, share official positions with Congress, outline treaties in international affairs, and other policy matters. Memoranda are not required to be published or public. A third type are proclamations, such as a proclamation celebrating Juneteenth. Pardons and clemency are not executive orders, but rather a separate power granted by the Constitution. Gridlock resulting from the failure of Congress to compromise on legislation often stimulates presidents to use more executive orders as presidents struggle to move their policies forward. But executive orders can also be blocked by Congress or court review, as President Trump found out in his first term Muslim ban. Find more in the history of presidential orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to the Todd Lowball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, January 20th, 2025. When you hear Johnny Cash, that usually means that Matt Flynn is not far behind, such as the case, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, great author as well, here to give us some perspective and analysis on today's major news events, including the inauguration of Donald Trump as the 47th president now of the United States, sworn in an hour and 21 minutes ago, and also on Martin Luther King Day here across America. Can tell you now that Joe Biden has circled his helicopter, has circled the White House twice, and is on his way to a Joint Base Andrews, where he is going to depart Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, as we watch live video, President Trump and Melania Trump, along with Vice President Vance and his wife, are now in the Capitol going to the luncheon. Reports were that former Presidents Bush, Clinton, and Obama were going to skip the traditional presidential luncheon. And then, of course, about a 1:30 our time is when the traditional inaugural parade will take place. Again, reports are that some of those activities are being moved to the indoor arena there in Washington, D.C. We'll see whether Trump actually goes into the arena to review the parade. I guess it's going to come through the arena, I'm not sure, or be on the dais as built right outside the White House, which, of course, is tradition. Talking to Matt Flynn, and Matt, before the break there, talking a little bit about kind of the optics of this thing. Rudy Giuliani got a seat in the Capitol, but the ambassador to Ukraine did not. Also, this thing with all these oligarchs, the richest of people like Elon Musk, and of course you had Tim Cook from Apple and Jeff Bezos from Amazon. All these tech guys got rows in the front, or the seats in the front row. Trump's cabinet got seats in the second row. Wisconsin United States Senator Tammy Baldwin tweeting during the event, saying that she was found it interesting, to say the least, and disturbed, perhaps more importantly, to see this tech power, the tech bros, Matt Flynn, in row one.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. And the thing about the Ukrainian ambassador is very disturbing. Trump did that so as not to offend Putin. Rubio, his Secretary of State, gave an interview a couple of days ago in which he said Ukraine's going to have to give up land, conceded without negotiation that the Ruskies, the commie Ruskies, and you say they're not commies anymore, they absolutely are commies.
Mm-hmm.
They, Putin was a commie higher up for a long time in the Communist Party over there, and Trump is afraid of him for two reasons. One is because he's been funded by the Ruskies for about 20 years or more. Eric Trump said that to a journalist. Secondly, the Steele Report. Everybody goes, oh, the Steele Report. Let me tell you something. Trump is servile to Putin. He's mm-hmm. afraid of Putin. And so he is about to stick a knife, he thinks, into Ukraine. And he said that the Ruskies can do whatever they want over there. What about Poland? What about mm-hmm. Lithuania? What about Finland? Let me tell you something. It is time that somebody has to get up on his hind legs in his own party and says, we're not going to put up with this isolationism. We are not going to cede Eastern Europe back to the Ruskies.
Yeah. You're right. And I mean, and you're keeping everybody honest on that. I mean, Putin is former KGB. That for people of a certain right. age, that means something. You know?
Right. Bad. Very bad.
Very bad. Very bad. Going to get to phone calls in a minute, Matt. Again, if you want to join us, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. But before we do, perhaps the bright spot of the day's activities so far is Minnesota U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, who gave the opening address. She's on the bipartisan inaugural committee. And I think that she had some very telling words. Here's just a sample of Amy Klobuchar, Senator Amy Klobuchar's remarks this morning during the inauguration.
There's a reason this ceremony takes place at the Capitol. In other countries, it might be in a presidential palace or a gilded executive office building. Here it is traditionally held at the Capitol, the People's House. It is a fitting reminder of the system of checks and balances that is the very foundation of our government, three equal branches of government. That is how, for nearly 250 years, our great American experiment, grounded in the rule of law, has endured. So, as we inaugurate a new president and vice president, let us remember that the power of those in this room comes from the
people, she said, to round it out. Senator, U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Look, Matt, I know there are a lot of people out there that certainly, you know, look, the person who I wanted to win didn't win. But there are people out there saying, oh, you know, don't watch it. We shouldn't be celebrating. We shouldn't be doing anything. I think Senator Klobuchar put it very well, that if others aren't going to respect the institutions of American democracy, it's up to us as individuals to keep that going. And as Joe Biden has said so very many times, look, democracy doesn't mean that you support it only when you win.
Right. No, and I agree with you. I must say partially, and let me tell you what I mean by that.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, at this time, that Trump did win, and all of the polling data shows that he cut into constituencies of the Democratic Party. It also shows that there were bomb threats and death threats made to black voting areas and indigenous Native American voting areas throughout the country. This is a violent party, and this is a violent individual. So when Amy Klobuchar says what she did, that's all very nice, but I think the Democratic Party is being too meek. You can say, sure, he got elected, so we're not going to do something armed with guns. But this crowd, led by him, tried to overturn the last election in this same space. And this crowd, somebody on their behalf made death threats and bomb threats at election time. We're not going to put up with that. Now, she doesn't have to do that. She can be Miss Nicey Nice today. But the fact is that the chairman of the Democratic Party or somebody has got to say that.
Mm.
You can't just say, well, we have deference to this guy. He won. And OK, and there's seashells and balloons and kumbaya. That is not true. This is a violent party with violent leadership. The rank and file are not violent, but it's important that there be strong Democrats at the top who make it clear that we're not putting up with this.
One less than a minute, Matt, before we have to take a break here. We'll come back to the other side. But isn't this going to be one of the challenges for Democrats in America and others to say, you know, how do you respect the institutions without endorsing the occupant?
Right. No, well said. And so here you have a guy who has not a single shred of commitment to democracy or anything that he pilfered at a John Kennedy speech that he gave today. Not a single bit. He's a draft dodger, and they had to pardon the chief of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff against prosecution by the draft dodger.
Right.
No. So we have got to say the truth, but we've also got to respect the institution.
Matt Flynn, always giving us the truth, unvarnished. We love it. Come back. Your phone calls on the other side. 855-752-4842 is the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you're like me, then you started your day with milk, either in your coffee, your cereal, or in a glass. But have you ever stopped to think about how that milk gets from the farm to your fridge? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and today we're going behind the scenes to look at the complex milk pricing system that affects the farmers, processors, and total supply chain. Changes are coming that will reshape the value of milk. Dana Cole is the Deputy Administrator of USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service. She gives us the gist on what the recent federal milk marketing order change means for farmers.
I think for the industry as a whole, knowing that the effective date for the changes is June 1st, so it'd be for that milk that's marketed in June, is they need to be thinking about that if they're using any kind of risk management tools. Part of the delay in the implementation is to provide those producers an opportunity to analyze where they're at on the risk management tools they're using and how they might want to move forward. And that is true as well with the composition factors that'll be implemented on December 1st.
Dates to remember, according to Dana Cole. She's the Deputy Administrator for USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service. We'll take a look at more farm news next. Make the best of wintertime fun at the 4th Annual Sun Prairie Frozen Fest, January 29th through February 2nd, presented by the Bank of Sun Prairie. It's a fantastic opportunity to enjoy a variety of winter activities like the puzzle contest, cardboard sled classic, winter beer garden, bonfire, hibernation hustle 5K, pancake breakfast, and the 77th Annual Groundhog Day Prognostication. For more about Frozen Fest, log on to cityofsunprairie.com.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Markets are closed for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. In more agribusiness news this week, congratulations to Paul Fetzer of Fetzer Farms, a centennial farm in Elmwood. He received the Dairy Business Association's Advocate of the Year Award during the recent Dairy Strong Conference. His excellence in farm management have helped the farm evolve into a modern 1,400-cow operation. Congratulations, Paul Fetzer. You can find more farm stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. And while you're there, check out our podcast page. The top downloaded story this past week tells us how cheese brine is a valuable tool on Wisconsin roads. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With high temperatures barely climbing above zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's zero at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
How will the incoming presidential administration impact you? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams following Monday's inauguration on Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Inauguration Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Monday, January 20th, 2025, along with Aaron Zommers on the board. Todd Allball here. Little Washington Post March, Mr. Zommers, there by the Army Band, was that?
Yes, the Army Field Band. And you know, it's not a patriotic day without some Sousa.
Exactly. And no better person to have join us here but a United States veteran, a Navy veteran, also a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and author. Give us a perspective and analysis on the day. Matt Flynn. Matt, thanks for your service. And no matter what's happening politically, I never get tired of hearing a military band.
Well, I agree. And you know, the other thing is, and I've said this before, I got to say it again, on a day like this. And the ship I was on, there were Democrats and Republicans. There were Southerners and Northerners, and guys from Wisconsin like me and guys from Mississippi. We all worked together. We were friends, played cards when we were underway and had a little free time. We stood watch together. We went on liberty together. We're Americans, and that spirit has been dissipated with the split that we've seen in our politics over the last, ever since Donald Trump reared his head, almost 10 years ago. That's got to stop. We're all Americans.
I thought it was, and by the way, President Trump now is in the halls of the Capitol giving a much more partisan speech right now, flanked by Speaker Johnson. We're not going to take that, but I just want to let you know what was going on to our listeners. And also now former President Biden and former First Lady Dr. Jill Biden have landed at Joint Base Andrews and are going to make a final address there before hopping on the plane and going home. But I thought, Matt, I want to get your take on this. Last week, then President Biden gave his Commander Chief address. And he warned not only those assembled, but I really took it to mean all of our military. And he said this very seriously, to remember your oath. Remember your oath. I thought that was an important moment that kind of got overlooked.
Absolutely. The truth is that our military academies for our officers, the Annapolis, West Point, the Air Force Academy, the Coast Guard Academy, drills into our future officers that civilians run our military and civilians run our country. And what he was trying to warn them, and he didn't do it explicitly, was that you have a regime coming in. Remember something. Tommy Tuberville, at Trump's direction, stopped all flag officer appointments for 10 months. We lost admirals. We lost generals who just retired and said, the hell with this. He will tamper with the military. He is a Russian asset. Keep that in mind. He's a Russian asset. And so what's happening is what Biden said, remember, gentlemen, ladies, your oath. When you went to Annapolis or West Point, you took an oath. And that oath is to the Constitution, not to Donald Trump. That's what he was saying.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark in Prayer to Sac. Mark, thanks for holding on. Understand you have a question about one of the announcements that Trump confirmed during his inaugural speech today.
Yeah, apparently he said he's going to executive order to end birthright citizenship. And I don't know quite how it's worded, but on the face of it, that would be, to my mind, unconstitutional, because anybody who's in this country, unless you're the scion, you know, being born of an ambassador or something like that, you're subject to U.S. law. So therefore, if a woman is in this country and gives birth to a child, and she just happens to be somebody who, undocumented immigrant that came over and gives birth to a child, that child is a citizen of the United States because that woman is actually under the jurisdiction of U.S. law. Otherwise, she couldn't be arrested and deported because she is under the jurisdiction of the United States. Am I wrong in that assertion?
Matt?
Yeah, you are right, except I'm going to tell you how the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court could change that and just say it was constitutional. The 14th Amendment was directed towards the children of slaves who had been brought here from Africa. When they were kidnapped in Africa, they were born in Africa. And so the South said they're not citizens. But then they had kids, and most of the slaves alive in 1865 to 1870 were the children of people who had been born in Africa. They were born in the United States. So the Congress said, passed it, and then it was ratified as the 14th Amendment, that anybody born in the United States subject to our jurisdiction and laws is a citizen. Now, if the ambassador from Mexico and his wife are living in D.C., she gives birth to a child, that child is not a citizen because he's the ambassador. He was sent by Mexico, and we accepted him, and so therefore he's subject to the laws and jurisdiction of Mexico. Now, if he commits murder or something here, there'll be a diplomatic row and all that. Mm-hmm. What Trump is saying, and he's trying to do it by executive order, he's trying to set up a lawsuit for the tarantulas, the six of them. He's trying to say is, well, people who are come in illegally, they're not legal, they are still subject to the laws of Mexico or the Middle East or wherever they're sneaking in from. And so therefore, they are still now they're subject to our laws if they commit a crime, yeah. But we didn't let them in. They came in on their own. And so therefore, anybody – now, I'll tell you a funny thing. Marco Rubio's parents came in. I do not know if they were legal or not. So I'm not saying they were or weren't. Sorry to say it anyway.
Listen.
The matter is – yeah.
Go on.
So there's the game plan for the six tarantulas to try to fool around and change 60 years of jurisdictional jurisprudence.
To your point, Matt, our friend Stuart Stevens, like myself, a former Republican, worked at high levels of Republican presidential politics, left the party like me, and is one of the principals at the Lincoln Project. He tweeted out on Twitter, X now, during the speech when Trump said he wanted to do this by executive order. He says, quote, birthright citizenship? If birthright citizenship did not exist, J.D. Vance's wife would not have been a U.S. citizen when they were married. Her parents were not U.S. citizens when she was born. She is an American because of birthright citizenship. Is J.D. Vance's wife so dangerous we need to end birthright citizenship? Is she that much of a threat? I don't think so.
Well, the answer is yes, she is. Except that that's just peculiar to her. Get her out. Get her and Rubio out. You can send them on a small plane and get them the hell out.
All right. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Joe, listening here on WMDX in Madison. Always a pleasure, Joe. What say you?
Thanks very much. It's great to hear from you, Matt, and I would very much like to hear your reaction to a premise that I'm suggesting. You had said many times that Trump behaves, we don't know for sure he's a Russian asset, but he sure acts like it in terms of how he constructs right. his life and in terms of there are very significant clues that would attest to that. Russia has for a long time been interested in doing whatever they could to fracture the United States. So whether it's mucking about in our elections, whether it's advancing ideas that they should get Alaska back, whether it's playing on the global stage to thwart American interests. And it occurs to me that one of the things that they've been very big on is trying to separate out, trying to break up the states, basically. And California being the biggest state and the one that has the biggest impact, boy, I see a situation here that's going to blow up amazingly. Speaker Johnson has said that he wants to hold hearings on whether California has the right to any federal relief with the fires that have beset that state. He said they want to look. It's conditional on whether they had the right logistics and oversight of this or that. I see 8 million years of hearings about water pressure in hoses in various neighborhoods in California. And nobody else has had to have, no other state has had to have that exhaustive look. For example, North Carolina, when, I mean, did they have to have some sort of exhaustive look as to how well prepared they were for hurricanes coming through? My question for you is, if there, California contributes, Rockefeller Institute of Government said that in 2022, California contributed $83 billion more in taxes to the federal government that it received from aid from the federal government for its needs. What happens if Gavin Newsom says, to heck with this, if you're going to blow off, let's say, $20 billion in aid that we are entitled to, that everybody else, every other state would have received, we will cut $20 billion out of what we send to the federal government. Can you talk me through how that would work? I'd be very curious. Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it.
No, that's actually a brilliant analysis, which I always expect when you call, Joe. Here's the law, and here's the reality of this. We are so partisan, and the Russians, you're right, are doing everything they can to divide us. Lincoln said, "The house divided itself cannot stand," and our enemies know that the only way we can be beaten is through division, and that has been going on for 10 years. Now, it wasn't just California. Remember when Hurricane Sandy came through? The southern states, the red states, would not vote for aid for Hurricane Sandy because it's New Jersey and New York. And what happened is Boehner, the speaker, had to put together a coalition of Democrats and Republicans and ram it through, but that ended up costing him the speakership. Mike Johnson is submissive. He's a servile little worm, servile to Trump. He'll do whatever Trump wants. So when they are putting on these hearings, who is paying for the immediate cleanup and the immediate restoration costs? I think it's actually a very smart idea, if I'm Gavin Newsom, to say we're going to pay for it out of federal revenues that we're entitled to, and so it's probably going to be $20 billion, it could be $30 billion, it could be $19 billion, we don't know what it is. What will happen then is Trump will have to go to tax court to bring an action against California, and that'll go with original jurisdiction right to the Supreme Court. And the tarantulas will have to decide. I'm going to give you the full game plan. Tarantulas will have to say, okay, we're going to side with Trump. At that point, Newsom still doesn't send it. Now, what does Trump do? Does he send federal troops? Does he federalize the National Guard? Russia would love this. What you have highlighted, and everybody listening to this has got to understand, we are being divided by foreigners in Russia, China, Iran, everywhere else, who are trying to defeat us from within. And when Trump has been a signal agent of that, he is the one that raised the issue, and subservient little worm-like Mike Johnson immediately went along with it. So I would absolutely do that. The other thing is, even if it went to the tarantulas, at some point there'll be such public pressure, you have to build it up, because these people will do what they did at Sandy Hook. And unlike then, when we had Boehner as a speaker, we have Mike Johnson.
We're talking with Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and author here, for his perspective and analysis on the day's events. Matt, I want to play you a quick cut here and get your perspective on this. So this was Donald Trump during his inaugural speech about an hour and a half ago, talking about the scales of justice.
Our sovereignty will be reclaimed. Our safety will be restored. The scales of justice will be rebalanced. The vicious, violent, and unfair weaponization of the Justice Department and our government will end.
Matt, you are a longtime attorney. I want to put this and put this through the lens of Wisconsinites, because we had a story last week talking about folks who are here undocumented in Wisconsin, and the highest employers of those folks are agriculture and hospitality. And now Trump is talking about something called the 1798 Immigration Law, the Alien Enemies Act, to, quote, eliminate the presence of all foreign gangs and criminal networks, unquote. About a minute here, we'll pick it up on the other side. But what does this actually mean in terms of how this is going to affect Wisconsinites?
Well, undocumented workers milk well over half the cows in the state. A cow has to be milked once or more a day, Christmas.
Usually twice Easter, or three times, Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, two or three times or whatever. You know, I haven't milked one recently, okay? The
They got to be milked.
I was a farm boy, so I get it.
Yeah, you ain't milking them. You're a farm boy, but you're a radio guy.
Right.
Somebody got to milk them, and these are undocumented immigrants.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, I think what Trump's going to do is make a big bluster and start out in a handful of felons and people like that. But the agriculture industry, are you kidding me? If you go down to Greene County in Monroe, where my wife's from, and you yank everybody off these farms, these farmers are going to be at their sons. They'll say, get back here and milk the cows. The guy says, hello, I'm up in Madison. I got a job. I'm the CFO of a company. So come on, give me a break. So, but was more ominous, remember one thing. Everybody copies our Constitution in on the form, on the surface. China, Russia, they have trials. They're all fake.
Right.
And he's talking about not weaponizing it. He's talking about fake Russian-type stuff.
Back with more about MLK Jr. On the other side, it's the Todd LaBelle Show with Matt Flynn right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor.
Welcome back to the
Todd
LaBelle Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now at 8 before the hour of 1 o'clock, coming up in hour number 2, a little what's worse for you, having to do with our chilly temperatures. Also, talk a little bit more about today's events in Washington, D.C., and have a little preview of The Ohio State University taking on Notre Dame for the national championship game tonight. Lots going on. We can tell you as we watch the live coverage on a split screen. Very interesting. Matt Flynn joins us again, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, great author for perspective and analysis. On one side of the screen, Matt, now former President Trump and Dr. Jill Biden, now former President Joe Biden and Dr. Jill Biden taking off on what normally is called Air Force One. It's the same plane, but the moniker, of course, is reserved only for the sitting President of the United States. They're about to take off from Joint Base Andrews. And on the left-hand side, you have Trump in the Capitol continuing with what now people on social media are saying is the actual inaugural he wanted to give, which is this freelancing stuff and just attacking Hillary Clinton and petty and trite. And it's quite stark, Matt Flynn, the split screen.
Yeah, and I've been looking at this, and the thing about this guy, he is not entirely the elevator does go to the top floor on this guy, emotionally and psychologically, okay? And the fact is that he had his talking points and his handlers made him give that other speech where he saw a lot of stuff from John Kennedy. But this is him venting. I mean, he's just flat out venting and lying, continuously lying. Yeah. And he's cheapening the office. He's cheapening himself. Yeah. And everybody's looking at their chops internationally going, we can divide this nation because we have a Russian agent in the White House.
Matt, let's talk about someone who actually helped unify this country, Martin Luther King Jr. It is MLK Day across the United States, a federal holiday. Many states have it as a state holiday as well. Appropriate that we pause and reflect. Matt, as someone who came up through the Democratic Party and worked on civil rights issues, what's your remembrances of Martin Luther King Jr. And what does this day mean to you?
It means a lot, and I never had the honor or pleasure of meeting him, but I was struck, you know, I was, when he and the Kennedys first interacted and Bobby and John stuck up for him in the early 60s, I was 16 or 17. When he was assassinated in 68, I was 21. And the one feature about him that always stuck with me was how much courage this guy had. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going through the South. And you may say, okay, man, I can go through the South. Well, let me tell you something. Going through the South in 1962, 63, 64, going to a bus stop, walking along the street, this is pre-civil rights. And people, when I was in the Navy in Little Creek, Virginia, the amusement park hadn't been desegregated till 2 years before I got there. This is a different terrain. And when he went through there, nobody would have prosecuted anybody who attacked him. He had no security, and he walked freely around there. And then sadly, when he went to support the sanitation workers in Memphis, because two of them got crushed in a garbage truck. Mm-hmm. They were sitting there, and somebody set it in motion, and they got crushed. So he goes down there to object to this and say they need higher wages, and somebody shoots him. This guy, the one issue about him that I remember the most as a kid was how much courage he had.
Yeah. It feels like, let's be honest, feels like, you just know that we need more people like Martin Luther King Jr. today. There'll never be another one of him, of course. But as you survey the landscape, Matt, is there anybody that sticks out? You say, you know what, that individual might have what it takes to at least rise in part to the level of MLK in 2025.
Well, one of the things about MLK, Martin Luther King, was that the issue that he was exemplified, which was racial reconciliation, was the most important issue at the time, and it still is. So I can't identify anybody in the civil rights movement that has that stature. There are the people who have shown courage, and this is somebody entirely different, but somebody like Liz Cheney, who she gets death threats, her kids get death threats. Mm-hmm. She has stood up to enormous pressure. I admire her. I admire Adam Kinzinger. I admire people in the Democratic Party. I admire Joe Biden. Joe Biden stuck to his knitting. He pushed through a great agenda, a Roosevelt type of legislative agenda. We have heroes like that now, but they require courage. Liz Cheney requires courage, but they don't quite require the courage of, say, a Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King, where they face physical murder mm-hmm. by just walking through a street or into a store.
Matt Flynn, 90 seconds left. I'll give it to you. Final thoughts on this January 20th Inauguration Day and Martin Luther King Day.
It's an unbelievable coincidence that they're both the same day because the men involved are so different. And so Martin Luther King, courage, that's what I remember, and reconciliation, which is what we need. But with Donald Trump, remember one thing. Even though a spoken speech can sound good all of a sudden, deep down inside, he and some of his party will use violence to keep power. They will use violence. They did it on January 6th. They have done it in general. There were bomb threats throughout black and indigenous voting precincts this last time around, November 5th. Be very, very careful. Do not be dissuaded. There are some good Republicans. Republican voters are Americans. Half of the ship I was on were Republican mm-hmm. voters, and half of them were Democratic voters. But their leadership, it's not the old Republican Party. This is a cult of Trump, and Trump is a cult of Putin. Be very careful that our foreign adversaries don't continue to try to divide us.
Matt Flynn, you always admonish us, remind us that you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke if and until you know history. You always bring it to us. We appreciate that. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Always a pleasure, Matt Flynn. Come back for hour two of the Todd Oliveball Show, including What's Worse? Talk a little bit about cold weather and a national championship tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump and J.D. Vance sworn into office in the Capitol Rotunda. The 47th president, in his first speech that followed, vowed to usher in a new golden age.
Above all, my message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and the vitality of history's greatest civilization.
President Trump also pledging to reverse the Biden administration's executive orders. ABC's Karen Travers has more on the day.
We expect him to do some signing ceremonies still up at the Capitol and then head down to Capitol One Arena, where a lot of his supporters have been standing in lines for hours to get in. That's where the parade was moved. They took the outdoor parade. They're going to do an indoor celebration there. The president and first lady are expected to stop by. And then he's going to be here at the White House. And that's when we expect some of those executive orders to be signed.
Former President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden were outside the Capitol and boarded a military helicopter departing Washington, D.C. This is ABC News.